Yotam Ben-Or joins me on episode 107. Yotam is a chromatic player who attended the Tel Aviv Music Conservatory, making a name for himself on the Israeli music scene, before winning a scholarship to study at the New School for Jazz in New York, age 21. Although predominantly a jazz player, Yotam is keen to emphasise the diverse range of genres this encapsulates, including world music and South American influences on his own music. Yotam has previously released two albums under his own name, with a third coming out in 2025. Many of the songs on these albums are composed by Yotam, as he helps to push the chromatic in new and exciting directions. This podcast is sponsored by Zeidel Harmonicas. Visit the oldest harmonica factory in the world at www.zeidel1847.com or on Facebook or Instagram at Zeidel Harmonicas. Hello, Yotam Ben-Or, and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello. Neil, how are you?
Thanks so much for joining today, Yotam. So you've got, you're now based in New York, but I think you've had quite an interesting journey to get to New York. So let's explore that first. I think you were you born in Israel, but to Belgian parents, is that right?
Almost correct. My mom is Belgian, mm-hmm. and I was born in Israel. My dad is Israeli. Yeah, and I grew up in Israel. And I moved to New York when I was 21.
Great. So your mother was from Belgium. So you're a chromatic player.
Correct.
Does that explain the chromatic, the toots connection? Is there something there?
Well, I wouldn't say that I started playing the harmonica because I am half Belgian. But definitely I started playing at a young age. And obviously toots is the model for harmonica, chromatic harmonica players. And I definitely liked the idea that he's Belgian and I'm Belgian as well.
Great, yeah. I mean, it might just be interesting just to cover from someone who has at least got Belgian heritage about, you know, what does toots mean in Belgium? I think he's a huge name there, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Toots is a huge name, obviously, in the jazz world worldwide. And Belgians are very proud of the fact that, yeah, that he's from there.
Yeah, because I think obviously, like you say, in the jazz world, he's very well known. But obviously, as harmonica players, we all revere him, of course. But, you know, for an actual country to see a harmonica player as one of the real, you know, heroes, that's must be quite a novel situation these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and of course, when he died a few years ago, there was lots of 100th birthday celebrations a few years ago, weren't there, to celebrate that all round Belgium. Yeah, so a real well-known figure in Belgium, yeah. So I understand you started playing at the age 11 and you were taught by your uncle.
Yeah, something like that, 10, 11, and I went, my uncle is a music teacher, primarily piano, at schools also, elementary school, and he's doing a lot of things with related to teaching music, and I went to take some piano lessons with him when I was about 10 years old, and he started playing harmonica at that time, just for fun. He liked this instrument, and then he gave me a harmonica, and I really liked it. And it stuck, you know.
So did you carry on playing piano, and do you still play piano now?
I do play some piano, yes. I write music on the piano. I'm far from being a virtuoso on the piano, and, you know, I'm not like a professional pianist, but I can play piano, yeah.
So what about that link between that similarity between the chromatic and the piano? It's laid out in a very similar linear fashion. Do you think of them in similar sort of ways because of that?
No, I'm not thinking about the harmonica as a piano. Thinking about the harmonica as a harmonica and the piano as a piano. And I'm trying, like, sometimes people ask me when I think about the notes, if I think about a piano or a harmonica. It depends. Sometimes I think about it as a piano. I, like, imagine the piano. Sometimes I imagine the harmonica.
Clearly, one major difference is the ability to play many different chords on the piano that you can't play in a chromatic harmonica.
Right, exactly. That's another thing.
There are plenty of chromatic players who do play piano and maybe went from piano to chromatic or vice versa. So, yeah, it does seem to be a definite connection between the two. So, yeah, but fantastic, yeah. So, do you play any other instruments besides piano and chromatic harmonica?
So, first of all, when I started middle school, I went to a music school and I had to pick up another instrument, not the harmonica, because it's not, there were no teachers for harmonica, etc. So I played saxophone, alto saxophone, when I was in middle school and high school. And I always kind of kept on playing the harmonica, but not at school, not in ensembles. But slowly, I kind of brought it back to be my main instrument. And when I was 18, I was already barely touching the saxophone. I was mainly playing harmonica. And I also play some percussion. Yeah, that's another instrument that I'm... Some congas, some cajon that are helping me to study different types of music that I'm interested in.
But when you're recording your albums and then playing with others, are you playing just the chromatic these days?
So I have a quartet, like a jazz quartet that I play with mainly. So when I play with the quartet, yes, I play the chromatic harmonica, and then there's a piano player, there's a bass and drums and some guests here and there. But in each of my albums, there's a couple songs that I play the piano. Mm-hmm. And besides that, I also have like more of a singer-songwriter project in which I write the songs and I play piano and I sing and play some harmonica. Sometimes I also record some percussion.
Great. Yeah, so on your Deliberations EP, there's quite a lot of vocals on there. I think there's five songs with lyrics, isn't it? And that's sung in Hebrew. So that's you singing, is it?
Yeah, it's me singing on this.
You know, very nice, fine voice you've got there too. And the Hebrew sounds very beautiful. והארץ וכל צבאם ויחל אלוהים ביום השביעי מלאכתו אשר עשה וישבות ביום. So going back to your development and your early life of playing, I understand that you went to the Tel Aviv Conservatory for music, and that's where you studied after high school.
Yeah. When I was about 18, I moved to Tel Aviv, and I went to, there's a conservatory there that has a collaborative program with the New School in New York. So I did 2 years there, actually three. I kind of spread 2 years over 3 years. And then I got a scholarship to move to New York and study and finish my bachelor degree at the New School in New York.
Great. And were you able to, you know, study the chromatic at the school there, or did you have to play the piano and saxophone, as you've said?
There I was already, like, I was playing harmonica and, you know, they had to be to accept it.
Yeah, because it's a familiar story with other people I've spoken to, that it can be a challenge to, like you say, get teachers for the chromatic and, and to get it accepted onto these courses, yeah.
No, I had some teachers and none of them were harmonica players. Obviously, I studied with saxophone players, piano players, etc.
And so you won a scholarship, as you say. So what did you have to do for that?
An audition. They came to do some auditions in Tel Aviv. And they decided to give me a scholarship, which helped a lot, made it possible for me to come to New York.
So fantastic. So you're a jazz player. You've mentioned you've got a jazz quartet. So yeah. New York is the mecca of jazz, right? So what was that like, moving to New York and, you know, going out to study jazz there? And now you're a performing jazz musician there, right?
Yeah. So I started playing jazz in middle school. At first, when I started playing music and harmonica, I didn't know anything about jazz. My dad had one record, like a compilation of Louis Armstrong and Larry Fitzgerald and like some singers. That was pretty much it, what I knew about jazz. And then, I went to middle school And there I met some friends that were playing jazz, and I started getting into it, checking it out, listening to it, playing it with friends. And then I also started hearing, you know, stories about New York and the clubs in New York, the like Smalls and the Jazz Gallery and Blue Note, obviously, and etc. And the players that live in New York, and a lot of Israeli musicians that lived or live in New York. And it became like, you know, some kind of a dream to go to New York and see all of this. And then when I got the scholarship, obviously it was big. I was very, very happy that I'll get to go to New York and see all of this in real life. And then I moved to New York and I was very disappointed. No, I'm kidding. I wasn't disappointed. But I came here. Yeah, and I got to hear all those incredible musicians. By the way, in jazz, and not just in jazz, since moving to New York, I got very deep into other styles of music, which I was also a little bit into before I moved to New York. Rumba, for example, Cuban rumba, which I really, really love, and am studying this music and playing it. And here in New York, people forget that. So jazz, it's true that jazz was developed a lot in New York, but salsa, for example, is another style of music that was really born in New York. So for example, in A Star, you can hear there's the pianist in my band. His name is Gabriel Chakarki, and he's from Venezuela, and he exposed me to a lot of music from Venezuela, rhythms like joropo and merengue. And for example, you can hear in A Star there's this part in the middle that I'll get a little bit into technicalities or like specifics about the music. There's a part there, it's like two phrases, so the song is in 3/4 most of it, and then there's this part that is like the B section is in 5/4, but it's two phrases of three bars of 5/4. So three bars of 5/4, you can also divide it into five bars of 3/4. And so I kind of played around with this and incorporated this rhythm called joropo, which is in 3/4, and we started playing it with this rhythm in this part. So that's an example of a style of music that I started listening to and studying and incorporated it into my music.
Yeah, and I've talked to various players and chromatic players who are from South America, and, for example, talking about choro music, and it just sounds so beautiful on the chromatic. Yeah, so it just works so well, doesn't it? So you're that sort of Latin South American influence.
Absolutely, yeah. Amazing. Very much into a lot of music from Brazil also. Choro is from Brazil.
So great. So yeah, as you say, you're in New York now, and you're after studying there. So I understood you got some mentoring from Grégoire Moret.
Yeah, Grégoire is mentor, friend, helped me a lot with a lot of things musically and beyond, personally. And he's someone I really appreciate and grateful for his help and directions that he gave me. Yeah, I met him actually in Israel. The first time I met him, I was about maybe 17. He came to Israel to perform at the jazz festival, and I took a lesson with him. And since then, I stayed in touch with him. And when I moved to New York, I got to spend more time with him. We actually at some point lived on the same block.
That's great to hear, because I imagine the chromatic harmonica world in New York might be quite small, so it's good to hear that he's happy to share that with you.
Yeah, Grégoire was very generous with me, and still generous, and opened his heart. And
Thank you. fantastic. Yeah, no, I've had Greg Waugh on the podcast. Yeah, great guy. And I've seen him play live a couple of times.
That's cool.
In London. So, so great. So you, so you moved to New York, I think you said, in 2014.
Yes.
There was it. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, you've been there 10 years now. So, yeah. you're well established on the scene. What's life like as a chromatic player largely on the New York scene?
Yeah, yeah. It's New York is a very tough place. I moved here in almost 10 years ago. And there were some, for example, during the pandemic, I kind of left about a year. I was barely here in New York. And then for actually quite a while since the pandemic, until about a year ago, I was in and out of the city a lot. I went to Mexico also to play and study there. And I was in Israel. I was in Europe quite a lot. I was upstate New York. But eventually I came back here. You know, since I've been here quite a while, I know a lot of people and I get to play gigs and to teach also a lot. You know, when I said jokingly and that I was disappointed, obviously it's not true, but when you live here for a while, it just becomes a place, you know? It's just that place, and they're with a lot of great musicians that live here. And actually, maybe too many great musicians.
Competitive, yeah. Yeah,
very competitive.
Do you mainly now play around New York, or do you go outside New York much to play as well?
This winter, like for a few months, I'm mostly here in New York. For a while, I was trying to travel as much as possible, go play in Europe, in Mexico, outside of New York, in the US, go to Israel. It became a little too much. And so now there's a period, it's been a few months, that I'm mostly here in New York, playing gigs in the city and around the city. But I'm still traveling sometimes. I go to Europe. I'm working with a manager now in Europe that is, we also recorded a new album that he kind of co-produced with me, that he like initiated the idea of recording it. And he's helping us to get some gigs in Europe.
Yeah, great. Whereabouts will you be playing in Europe?
Where in Europe? I've been playing in Germany quite a lot, in Switzerland, in Belgium sometimes. Italy, we played quite a few times in Italy, even though we didn't go back there in a while. Hungary, yeah.
Well, get into your recording career now. So the first album I've got you down is with the Jupiter Group, and this was part of, well, so it's an album of the best young Israeli jazz and recorded in 2013. So was this when you were still a student, and was this, you know, part of your studies, or?
Yeah, that was in still in Israel. Avishai Cohen, the bass player, which some people might know, he decided to put together this album that was made of like four bands, I think, that he chose in Israel. And one of them was this band that I was a part of called Jupiter. We were playing gigs and working for about 2 years, I would say. And then everyone moved to different places in the world. The bass player is actually, his name is Alon Nir. He's also the bass player in my quartet nowadays. And yeah, but everybody kind of moved all over.
Yeah, and also some good recordings on there, picked out one called Jupiter. And then you formed your own band in 2015. So this is when you were obviously in New York. Let's say you had your bass player across with you from Israel. Yeah. Were the rest of the guys based in New York? Or?
Yeah. So it was Alon on bass, Gabriel, which I mentioned, on piano. He's from Venezuela. We met in New York. We started the new school at the same time. The drummer, the first drummer was David Jimenez, his name is, he's a Dominican drummer that I met at the New School as well. Then actually the first album was recorded with Ofri Nehemia, incredible drummer from Israel. And then there was another Israeli drummer, his name is Noam Israeli, with whom we recorded the second album, most of it. Ofri is actually on one of the tracks in the second album as well. And then we played for some times with an Argentinian drummer called Franco Pina, incredible drummer. And now in the past couple years, we've been playing with another Alon, Alon Benjamini, on drums, that is also based in New York, but he is originally from Israel.
Yeah, so a very international flavor, as I guess, reflecting New York, right? So
yeah,
and all the great musicians going there. Yeah. So talking about your first album, I think in 2018 is Sitting on a Cloud.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the first one you released under your own name. Yeah. So this is all original compositions by you.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So how do you go about composing? You say earlier on you use the piano for that. Mm-hmm. How does that work with the chromatic? You know, what's your thinking process?
Yeah, the way I write on the piano and I sing. Sometimes I would play everything on the piano, but often I would sing and comp myself on the piano and find different parts on the piano and sing and since I cannot play the harmonica and the piano at the same time, because I need my hand, I sing and play the piano. And then I just learn the music on the harmonica. I would pick maybe the key, usually according to what will sound good on the harmonica. Like the key, like in terms of the range, not necessarily the key, based on the range, if you know the lowest note is this or that, or what will sound better on the harmonica in terms of, you know, to play in the middle or high or...
And are you usually playing a C, a chromatic in the key of C?
Yeah, I play only the chromatic in the key of C. Even though I am interested in trying out the chromatic in different keys, because there are certain things that just you cannot do, you know, if you want to. You play with a singer, for example, that sings a song in E, and there are certain things that you cannot do in E that you could do in C, for example. There's, for example, a song by Javan, Brazilian singer, composer, that Stevie is playing on. It's called Samurai. He's playing a harmonica in a different key. I'm not sure which key actually, but I know because I learned what he's playing, and he's just playing like different trills and stuff like that that you cannot do in this key.
Yeah.
Like if you play the chromatic in C, and I think the song is in E, you cannot play the things that he's playing if you're using a chromatic harmonica in C.
Yeah, no, great. So this is a great first album you've made then. So there's quite a lot of interplay with this sort of keyboard synthesizer, like on the Vito e Merto Pascal and... And then on the song Ebb and Flow, it sounds like you may be using an effect on the chromatic. You do this sort of bend on the chromatic, and it sounds like you got... Are you using an effect on there?
Yes, an octaver. Yeah, I do use some octavers, some flangers sometimes, a chorus. I like to add those things here and there.
Great. And your music sounds, you know, it sounds very modern. and, you know, not traditional jazz. So you definitely brought a modern take on it, I think. Is that something you've tried to do?
I think that jazz also, when we say jazz, it's like maybe what you think about is more straight ahead, like swing,
yeah,
which I'm playing, but it's not the only thing that I do. And coming from Israel and having been exposed to, I would say, the main music that I grew up with is singer-songwriters. There's a great composer in Israel called Mati Kaspi, and there's a band called Kaveret, for example. A lot of singer-songwriters that I listen to, and then classical music. Yeah, I would say that the very first music that I was exposed to was classical music, mm-hmm, through a good friend of my family called Ronnie Porat, who's a conductor. We used to go to his concerts as kids. So that was something that I was exposed to.
Did you spend some time learning classical music on the Chromatica at all?
Yeah, I'm definitely learning some pieces on the Chromatic harmonica. The cello suites that I really like, Bach. Mm. Yeah, mostly Bach, I would say. Some Telemann, I remember, I learned, but like Baroque.
But no recordings of classical yet?
No, yeah, maybe one day I will record it.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely see the value in learning the technique and,
for sure,
and the discipline of the classical music to help. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And to study classical music in general, to in order to learn harmony, mostly learning Bach on the piano, some inventions, some chorales, yeah, to like study the harmony.
So I also noticed on the Sitting on the Cloud album, on the song Leanne, it's a great example of you playing a really beautiful melodic line, and that's something which is really strong in your playing as well, I think. Is that something you're aiming for?
Yeah, definitely. My, like, all of my music is singable. The melodies are very lyrical. By the way, actually, I mean, Israeli, and also my mom, for example, is a huge fan of Jacques Brel, the Belgian singer. And then I moved to New York, and I was exposed to this vast world of rhythm from Africa via Central and South America. A lot of African-American music, actually, that I always try to study more and get deeper into and incorporate all these elements into my music. You can, like you mentioned, Viva Ermeto Pasquale, for example, from my song. There's like, it's in 7/4, but there's some kind of Cuban music. There's the strong beat is on the 4. It's like, they call it the big 4. So in this song, Ermeto Pasquale, there's like a big 7, kind of. It's like this emphasis on the last beat before the one. Yeah, so this is an example.
Yeah, so going through a few more of your recordings then. So you released what is down as a single on Spotify called Speak Love. There seems to be two harmonicas on this song. Is that right? And is that you playing with someone else, or is it you doing both?
Yeah, it's I'm doing... it's more than two, actually. There's a few harmonicas. It's like I recorded a few takes, and then I just mixed between takes at the same time. Thank you. little bit like in Too High, Stevie Wonder, inspired by this.
Here's a word from my sponsor. Looking for a new harmonica, or maybe you just want to replace the replates on an existing harp? TheHarmonicaCompany.com is a place to go for all your harmonica needs. They stock a wide range of harmonicas and accessories from all of the major manufacturers, and always ensure that they ship quickly, offer excellent customer service, and are super competitive on price. Go to TheHarmonicaCompany.com and enter the code HAPPYHOUR7 at the checkout to get an additional 7% off the already low prices. Have a question or need advice? Just drop Jonathan a line on sales@theharmonicacompany.com and he'll be happy to help. The discount code and email address are also listed on the podcast page. He released a single with three songs on called Loose Pace.
That was actually like an EP, like three tracks, but it's like music for video. And so they basically commissioned it from me to record three solo harmonica in different moods. I don't really include this CD in my discography, for example. I like it. There's some things that I like about it, but it's very specific for, like, you know, for this purpose.
Yeah.
But it was interesting for me to do it, to just record solo harmonica.
So your second main album then, it was split into, I think I mentioned earlier on, you had the Endless EP, which has five songs which are harmonica instrumentals. Well, there are instrumentals, not just harmonica instrumentals. And then you've got the other part of the EP, which is the Deliberations one, the one we mentioned earlier on with the vocals in Hebrew. So
yeah,
this was released in 2022, so pretty recent.
I actually worked on this album as one piece, Endless Deliberations, and it was a period in my life that I just had many contemplations musically and personally, and I contemplated so much about how to release this music, and I recorded some of the songs a few times, and it was not pleasant. It takes a lot of energy to contemplate, and this is how I decided to call it Endless Deliberations. I was thinking also about contemplations, but I decided that deliberations. Deliberations is more of a discussion between people, right? And I eventually decided to split it in two. Endless, which is instrumental. And then the last song, the fifth song in this EP, is called The End. And I am not playing harmonica on it. I play piano and some vocals and guitars there. And there's another vocalist. And then the second half of it, Deliberations, is five songs in Hebrew that I sing and play piano in most of them, not all of them. Some of them are with the quartet, and then the rest is me playing piano.
Yeah, great. And so you released a song, another one as a single, called Sattler.
Well, Sattler is a part of Endless, the instrumental EP.
And then there's a song called Forza Roma, which is just a Latin-Italian influence.
Yeah, there's definitely some Latin influences on this one. And I wrote this one after we were in Rome. We were playing some gigs in Italy, and we were in Rome. Also Alon, the bass player, we were staying at our friend's place, Francesco, drummer. And Rome, the football team, won against Barcelona. So people were partying in the streets very hard, and everybody was screaming Forza Roma, Forza Roma. It means the power to Rome. And then I was inspired by this that night and wrote this song called Forza Roma.
And now you've got a new album coming out soon, and you've kindly let us have a sneak preview and provided some, I think, not final cuts, yeah? So a couple of clips I'll play. The clips I'll use on here, not quite the master cuts, yeah? But yeah, it'd be good to hear some of those. Yeah, so when's this one coming out? And tell us about this one.
Right now, I'm calling it Trying. It might change. But right now I'm calling it Trying, and it's an album that, like I mentioned before, also Rene, my manager with whom I work in Europe, he encouraged me to write this album, mm-hmm. and he booked a short tour for us in Europe and 2 days of recording to record the music. And it's kind of the first time that I didn't have the music ready when I already had the dates for the recording. So we had the dates and I had to write a bunch of new music. So I wrote quite a few new songs for this album. There are also a couple older songs on it, like some stuff that I wrote in the past that I never recorded and decided to include in this album. And also for the first time, we are playing on this album songs that are not my compositions. One of them is called Merengue by Gabriel, the piano player. Merengue, also I mentioned it before, is a rhythm from Venezuela in 5/8, and this song is in this rhythm, merengue, mm-hmm. venezuelano. And another composition of an incredible Argentinian composer called Carlos Aguirre, and the song, the composition of his that we recorded is called Milonga Gris. And the rest are my compositions.
Great stuff, yeah, and yeah, there's some good ones. Triangulation, I enjoyed that one. And notice Kafka, who's of course a Czech writer, isn't he? So I was hearing some similarities to Bluesette, the sort of the melody on Kafka. Is that something have I picked that out right? Or
I never thought about it. Kafka is mainly based on this bass line that I wrote. This is, for example, one of my oldest songs that I decided to include in this album.
Yeah, no, great. So, when's this one coming out?
This one is planned to come out in the beginning of 25. So in like somewhere between January and March of 2025.
Okay, right. So, yeah, you still got some work to do. And are you still recording it, or is it just all the mixing? And
we're going to have a special guest on one of the songs. Lars Danielsson, he's a bass player and composer and incredible musician. That is going to record on one of the songs, Ballad for Daniel. And there's one song on which we have a singer singing, Essi Kwanza. The song is called Trying, which I'm actually still contemplating if to include in this album or not. And that's it pretty much, yeah. Most of it is ready, I would say, like 90%.
Well, yeah, it's sounding great. So, yeah, let's get a sneak preview on here. But, yeah, enjoy looking forward to that one coming out. I noticed also, you know, talking about you playing a little bit of diatonic. So I've picked one song out of you playing diatonic. It's on the Loose Pace. That's the one that was the three you had to record for the videos, right? So, but it does demonstrate you're playing some diatonic harmonica. The song's called Can Try. So is that you trying some diatonic harmonica?
Exactly. This is exactly what it is. Because I wouldn't call myself, you know, I know some great diatonic harmonica players that can really play this instrument and make it sound good. And I wouldn't consider myself one of them. But I had to do it. And so I gave it a try, you know?
Yeah. So when you're doing the albums and you're composing them and, you know, are you improvising on most of it? Are you writing out most of your own parts? What are you going to play? How do you approach playing them on the chromatic?
Most of them have a solo. So, like, my compositions are, there's a form and there's obviously a lot of written material. And usually there's a part for a solo. Usually it's a part of the song. There's the song, we play the melody. And then what I like, some songs have just one solo part on which everybody or whoever is soloing over this part. But most of my songs have different parts for soloing. So like there's maybe the piano will improvise over the A section. And then there will be a harmonica solo over the B section. And then those solos are improvised. Yeah, it's just a solo.
So you're composing the chord structure and the melodies and then improvising the solos largely. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. There's a structure, there's chords, there's a rhythm, and this is what we improvise over and try to like mess it up a little bit, you know?
And I've seen you play at various festivals and you played in some great places. You played in Carnegie Hall. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I got to play a couple of my songs once at Carnegie Hall as part of, it was some like a concert, and we were invited to play a couple of my compositions there. That was very exciting. Yeah, we got to play with my band at Jazz at Lincoln Center once, at some festival that was happening there. I got to play at the Blue Note with Edmar Castaneda, which is
nice.
I was actually playing with this band, subbing for Gregoire, and then I got to play a few more concerts with Edmar Castaneda, which was incredible.
Yeah, and you've won a first prize in the Rostov International Jazz Competition. So I understand this was in Russia. So what was that? What was that like? Visiting Russia and
That was a long time ago. It's like some small competition that was happening there. Somehow there was a connection between this competition. It was a music school there, and the school where I was studying in Israel. And so they sent a few students to participate in this competition, and then I won. That was, I would say, 12 years ago, something like that.
A question I ask each time, Yotam, is if you had 10 minutes of practice, what would you spend those 10 minutes doing?
Sound, for sure. Long notes. Connecting with the instrument and finding your sound on it. There's a tendency with the harmonica, because it seems so easy to produce the note, the sound, you just blow. You know, every kid could do it. People that play this instrument forget about the depth of the sound, actually, and how unique it can be. Like each person's sound on the instrument is unique. Yeah, for sure. If I have 10 minutes, I would turn off my phone and practice this.
And what does your typical practice regime look like? You know, do you do lots of scales? And, you know, what sort of things do you concentrate on?
I'm studying music, really, like studying repertoire, I guess, or like when there's a song that I like or music that I need to learn for a gig, I will learn the music, also try to learn it on the piano first, and then I will learn it on the harmonica. I'll learn the melody and I'll learn the chords, and I will work on rhythm. I work on like different things that, for example, I'm studying on the conga language. I will try to do it on the harmonica. For example, play the clave with one foot and play the harmonica, really like literally transpose things that the conga would play onto the harmonica, or transcribing solos and analyzing them, trying to understand what the player is thinking about harmonically, build myself like exercises around this, or try to take one element and incorporate it into my solos. Yeah, there's many things that I do. Now, in terms of routine, this is a little hard for me to have a routine these days because I'm busy also like playing gigs and working on my music and teaching a lot, but I'm still trying, you know, to practice daily. And I would practice sound and really this, yeah, like practicing for gigs and using the music that I need to learn for gigs in order to practice the things that I'm trying to improve.
And you talked about transcribing. Are there particular instruments? Obviously, you mentioned the conga there. And are there particular instruments that you think, you know, translate well onto the chromatic, or do you not try and limit yourself in that way?
Every instrument, really. Like, obviously, melodic instruments like trumpet and saxophone. And singers also. That's for every instrumentalist, I think, is the great exercise, or it's more than an exercise, to transcribe singers. And then piano, obviously, piano is a little hard because many times there's chords and more than one note that you cannot really do on the harmonica. Yeah, and then conga is really playing, it has a few notes, but it's mostly its rhythm. So it's great to improve your rhythm and learn a very complex, sophisticated rhythmic language on the harmonica.
Let's get on now talking about gear. So first of all, what chromatic do you like to play?
I play the Suzuki Sirius F56. It's the one that goes down to the G below middle C.
So a 14-hole?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And did you play the 14-hole from the beginning, or did you switch to that at some point?
Yeah, no, I switched to that probably around 4 years ago, maybe. For a while, I wanted to try it. So with the harmonica, there's a thing with the lower octave. I don't really like the sound of the lower notes. It's hard to control them. But I was missing trumpet and flute also goes lower than middle C, but mostly the trumpet goes down to G or even F sharp in concert. And like, there's melodies and solos that I was transcribing that I was missing this low G. And so I wanted to try it for a while. And then I was on the train and I forgot my bag on the train with two harmonicas. Mm-hmm. And then I had to buy some new harmonicas. And I was like, okay, let's try the 14-hole. I used to play when I was younger. I used to play also the 16 holes, the Honor, the 64. But like I said, the lower notes are not my favorite. But I was missing the G, and this the Sirius is amazing. I love it. It's pretty sturdy, and the lower notes sound pretty good.
Yeah, how's the transition to that 14-hole been then? You know, we're not having the C at the bottom root note. How have you found that?
Yeah, it's confusing a little bit in the beginning. Even still, I would say, like, sometimes I would go to the wrong note just because my body remembers so much the 12 holes. It's so tiny, but it's somehow it's really like messes with your brain, you know?
Have you tried the DM48 or anything like that?
Actually, yeah, I know. I have a friend that has it, and I think I tried his once. It's something that would be cool to try, actually. I'm not opposing to having this instrument, but I'm not so familiar with it.
Definitely worth a try. You know, it's very interesting. Yeah, very interesting. And if nothing else, it allows you to practice silently because, you know, it's completely silent. So you can kind of put headphones on with your phone or whatever, and you can just practice it silent, which is good too, yeah. So what about your embouchure when you're playing the chromatic? What do you like to play?
I'm just playing like toots, I guess.
Puckering, yeah.
Yeah. No, I never. The tongue blocking is so much practice. I'll tell you what, I think you already got the sense that I'm into music, you know, and I like music. Mm. And really somehow the harmonica found me, and this is the instrument that I practice the most and most professional at. But I have, like, for example, practicing tongue blocking will require, so I tried, you know, to practice a little bit, and it just requires so much time. Mm, of practicing something that has nothing to do with music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like just this like very technical thing that I'm just not interested in. The funny thing is, obviously I'm practicing things on the harmonica that are really hard to play, some songs, but there's, for me, there's like a meaning to it because I'm learning how to play a song. And the instrument I'm doing it with is the harmonica, so I must overcome some technical obstacles.
Yeah.
But now to like spend hours on practicing tongue blocking is something that I am not so interested in doing.
Yeah, you're not alone with that view that people like yourself, you know, who are jazz players or, you know, or particularly chromatic players as well, you know, approach it with the music first rather than thinking you're a harmonica player. Whereas lots of harmonica players would maybe call themselves a harmonica player before thinking about the music. Yeah. So it's interesting then people like yourself, you know, you approach it from that different side. You know, it's quite, it does definitely put a different perspective on how you approach playing, I think, and the harmonica and music in general. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is something that I think that the world of harmonica is missing a little bit more.
Yeah.
People who are great musicians, you see in like all the rest of the instruments, like saxophone players, piano players, obviously, and like, etc. They are great musicians and their main instrument is this instrument. But it's not they're just instrumentalists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in the harmonica world is something that is missing. I feel like more great musicians, good musicians that happen to be harmonica players. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. As I say, it's definitely a topic I've touched on before. It's a very interesting one, yeah. So what about amplification? What microphone and an amplification do you like to use?
Yeah, so for live, I just use the SM58. Even though there's some other great microphones that I don't really remember their names. There's one like a live condenser, like Sennheiser. I don't remember what's the name of the specific microphone, but that's a great microphone. Mm-hmm. And yeah, obviously I have used some other microphones that are great, but I just have a 58 and this is what I'm using.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, obviously, Toots use that, and you know, it does, you know, it works well with the range, the sound of the chromatic. Yeah,
yeah. And then for recording, though, I'm using other microphones. I personally have a TLM 102. That's a Neumann condenser microphone, and I like to combine it with an SM7B. That's a microphone that's used a lot to, like, for podcasts actually, and like singers use it. It's a dynamic microphone, to give it like the harmonica more of a dark color. This or the RE20, it's called, I think. The RE20, right, is similar.
Yeah.
But if I'm recording at a studio that has all the gears, so I would record, yeah, with like a really good condenser, like a Neumann, and then a good ribbon mic.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm not like a gear nerd, so I don't remember a lot of the names. But a really good condenser, and then a really good ribbon mic. That's like clarity from the condenser and then some darkness from the ribbon.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. So yes, oh no, great then. So you've got your album coming out. You're working on that for next year. I saw you had a gig playing at the Ornithology Jazz Club in New York. I think just last weekend. So you're still playing around New York. People can check you out there. And did you say you had plans to get across to Europe in the near future to play again?
Yes, probably in October.
Mm-hmm.
October, I might be there. And then hopefully if everything works as planned, we will be touring the new album in the spring of 25, like April and on in the summer.
Excellent. And it was great to, discover your music, Yotam. Really enjoyed it, and some great, fresh, new approach. So how old are you at the moment?
I'm 30.
You're 30, yeah. So still plenty to come from you then, yeah? So, looking forward to your output over many years. Thanks for joining me today, Yotam Ben-Or.
Thank you so much, Neil. It was really fun talking with you.
Once again, thanks to Zidal for sponsoring the podcast. Be sure to check out their great range of harmonicas and products at www.zidal1847.com or on Facebook or Instagram at Zidal Harmonicas. Thanks to Yotam for joining me today. He's certainly part of the new generation of chromatic players, really moving the instrument forwards and bringing a fresh approach and demonstrating the versatility of the chromatic harmonica. Be sure to check him out live if you can. And thanks to you all for listening again. Remember, you can get in touch via the contacts page on the website, harmonicahappyhour.com, including if you have any suggestions for future guests you would like to be interviewed. The next episode should be out in 3 weeks, as I'll be away a little over Easter. I'll sign out now with a song from Yotam's Endless EP, Perfect Contrasts.